up to bat. No batteries included and no strings attached. No holds barred, no time for move faking. Gots to get to loot so I can bring home the bacon. Brothers front, they say the drop can't flow, but we've been known to do the impossible like Broadway Joe. So sleep if you want, like we will help you get your Z's, true. But here's the real scoop. I'm all that and then some. Short, dark, and handsome. Bust a nut inside your eye to show you where I come.
All right, we are back. We are back. We are back, man. With the second,
we're back by popular demand. Man,
people. I would say contentious of the last episode of Who Should Be at the Big Table. We got another great topic for the scenario today. Just before let's jump into it. Some of our emails. We got this one verse from Ram L. He says, "Yo, listen to the scenario episode. Who at the Spades Table episode? I was at work mad as hell, y'all. Kept passing on Mr. O'Shea Jackson. Yo, Q. You know," he says, "Yo, Q. Like, should have been in the table from 90 to 2005.
Damn.
My man Ram L breaks down every 5 years for us, too. So, 90 to 95. Q dropped America's Most Wanted, Death Certificate, The Predator, and Lethal Injection. He also acted in Boys in the Hood, Glass Shield, and Trespass. 95 to 2000. He dropped War and Peace, the West Side Connection album. The movies were Higher Learning, Friday, The Players Club, Three Kings, and Funny Ass Anaconda. 2000, 2005. I don't remember any albums. The movie resume was strong, though. He had Next Friday, Friday at the Next, Barbershop, All About the Benjamins, Barbershop 2, Torque, which is a bad movie. And Are We There Yet? We all know he wrote, directed, and produced while acting in some of these movies. Love the new podcast, brothers. Keep doing y'all thing."
Well, man, I appreciate the love, for sure, for sure. But here's the thing, like, okay, and this is going to apply to everybody as we read what we're talking about here. Like, that's what's up. But we can't just be having people sitting down and nobody else getting up. So you got to tell me who doesn't deserve to sit down if somebody else got to get up. That's only fair. That, I feel like, is only fair. You got to tell me who got to go if somebody else got to stay.
And, man, those are some strong years there, too.
Strong years.
The Q's best shot is probably 90-95. If he had a shot, it's 90-95 because Q was basically... And I could see an angle for Q being there because he's basically the trademark of what a thug kind of dude was from L.A. at that time. Mm-hmm. And he was, you know, dropping the heat. He was the... I mean, arguably, those first two or three Ice Cube albums is classic albums. So that's gonna be a hard one to get somebody to get up from the table. This next email comes from Chris D. He says, "Damn, damn, damn! Come on, players, y'all cannot be sitting here and not put the man Jamie Foxx on the bill. He was an Academy Award winner, dropped 2 platinum albums in the 2000s, and also has the number one rated top 100 song of all time with." Blame It on the Goose. I think that's Blame It on Alcohol. He's put Blame It on the Goose. You know, people don't even know the name of the song. Just wanted to see y'all thoughts. Love what y'all doing with this. This is some great stuff y'all got going on here. Peace.
Hey, appreciate the love, man.
So he's in the 2000s.
Who's getting up?
Goes back to the original thing. Who's getting up?
I'm answering all emails. Email is a two-way path. Who's getting up? You got to go back. You got to listen to it again. You gotta tell me. You gotta consult with your people. You gotta tell me who's getting up. It's only fair.
All right. Next email comes from M.E.K. She says, "Fellas, this is one of the best podcasts I've heard. When it comes to something like this, never thought of breaking down each years and decades and seeing what Black people were the most important for those time periods. But one person I think that was a sleeper is someone that a lot of women love and adore, and a lot of brothers like too. LL Cool J. I would say 85 to 90, he was doing it big, and also from 90 to 95. What are you all's thoughts?"
Yeah, LL was the man. I mean, yo, the thing about it is I thought about LL, but at the same time, I thought about, like, yo, there was a lot of rappers, though, that was, like, blowing up there. But the 80s was a time when there was just, like, a handful of Black people that was so
They basically massive. Pushed the... Eddie Murphy, like, literally, he is the quintessential Black He's the best black entertainer.
We didn't even put Lionel Richie in this joint. Lionel Richie was huge during some of that run. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Oprah didn't go down in any of them because she was just so consistent.
I mean, you got at the table was MJ and Prince was sitting there, and Eddie was holding up the table for the whole decade.
Mike
Tyson wasn't getting up either.
No, nobody was going to make Mike Tyson get up. Jenny
wasn't getting up in the late 80s?
No.
So, I mean, who you gonna get up?
I mean, come on, man. It ain't like we put Danny Glover at the table or nothing like that. You know, we just sit down put Michael Bivins there. Like, not the other two cats. No, just Michael Bivins. Like,
not Bobby Brown. Michael Bivins.
Like, Michael Bivins, yeah.
He did have Biv 10. He did discover Boys to Men.
Who wouldn't get to sit down at a new edition big table? Who would be the two cats that's standing up?
Damn.
I mean, because Bobby Brown and Ralph Tresvant got to sit down. It ain't no way that... Yeah.
So we just basically, let's just break it down like this. So
Riz LaFerre and OG Bobby are sitting down.
Ralph and Bobby are there.
Yeah.
So now we have two spots, three people. Oh, no, four people.
Two spots. You got Johnny Gill, you got Bill
Bivins. I think Bivins gets a seat.
I think Mike Bivins do.
Because he discovered, like I said, he discovered Boys to Men. He discovered couple other
I'm just talking about their contributions as members of the New Edition.
Oh, just strictly on New Edition value. Gotta put Johnny there. Because Johnny.
Johnny and Bivins then. It's gotta be yeah. DeVoe and it's gotta be the other cat I just forgot.
DeVoe and Ricky Bell.
Yeah. And Ricky Bell, bad man.
Ricky Bell. See, you said strictly New Edition. Oh man. The thing is Ronnie DeVoe gave them their whole style though. He was like the kind of stylist that gave them their whole kind of swag.
Ronnie DeVoe also. Oh, okay. I mean their own music. I mean their whole music. Ronnie DeVoe also was killing it on Poison, but Ricky Bell is the one that sang the hook.
Yeah. And man, do you know that song was supposed to be? I think it's supposed to be for Keith Sweat. That beat. Yeah, I think I remember that beat was for Keith Sweat.
God made sure that.
Oh God, no! Or was it for God? Or was it Teddy Riley? It was somebody like that that turned the beat down?
I don't know who.
And they walked in the studio and was like, "We'll take it."
But yeah, that was God intervening on behalf of popular music forever. Because
we would not have known of Bill DeVoe if it wasn't for that Poison. Poison set it off.
Yeah. The only other thing they did was, Do Me, Baby?
Do Me and all that. That whole album went 4 platinum.
Oh, that album was huge. But that was back when singles used to sell whole albums.
Yeah, Do Me did. I Thought It Was Me.
Yeah.
But I'm saying like that. They went on a run after that.
Yeah, they had a strong.
They had a run after that.
They had a strong.
Well, When Will I See You Smile Again? Like, that album was strong.
Yeah, New Edition was... I mean, Bill DeVoe was kind of the shit.
Yeah. I mean, in the 90s, Bill DeVoe was better than New Edition.
Yeah, I mean, New Edition was on fumes, though. I mean, Ralph Tresvant was still coming in and doing music with them, you know what I'm saying? And like
Bobby Brown, best part. They were the best of the split-offs in the 90s, of all the split-offs.
No, Bobby still had albums in the early 90s.
Bobby came out 88, though.
But Bobby still had, albums in the early 90s.
Yeah, Humping Around and stuff like that was popular. Yeah. But I think, he ain't had no bigger singles than like Poison.
Well, Poison might be the biggest single that New Edition ever produced.
You think of all the New Edition catalog?
Yeah, I think it might have sold more albums.
Poison may be the number one single.
You
like if you Poison's, talk straight singles,
Poison's age better than any other.
Poison's by far is age better than any of the songs.
I mean, but in the early 90s, though, I mean, you had Ralph Tresvant was doing Boomerang soundtrack. You had
Johnny got some tracks, too, though.
Johnny Gill on the Boomerang soundtrack,
My is up there.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think Poison may be the best.
I think Bobby Brown's, I think the Poison's the best song that New Edition ever made.
For you, talking about for Long Standing Valley, I can see that. All right, we don't want too much. This one's from man Satchel. He says, "Fellas, this had me dying laughing the whole time debating. I was sitting there yelling at you all in my office about a couple of different decades and eras. It's funny that you all went through some of the 80s and even part of the early 90s and neglected to forget Babyface."
No, I don't think you forget Babyface, but Babyface is kind of like an influence as opposed to a driving force as far as I'm concerned. Like Babyface,
he said Babyface, and he said Teddy Riley. No, he may be up to something for 90 to 95 with Teddy Riley. He may be able to knock on the door, and bring the pizza. Teddy Riley might be able,
but somebody got, but you bring the pizza, then you leave. Like he ain't gonna come in the house like we're sitting here right now. We're sitting at the table, and there's a whole other room over there. Teddy Riley could be in that room over there.
Now, Bobby Brown, R. Kelly, or whatever, whoever is in the kitchen.
So you saying like it's in the movies where like you like where the camera's going through the house and then it's going back to the back room where the space game is.
Yes,
and then Teddy Riley, the people standing out hanging out by the refrigerator.
Yeah,
he's not in the back room where you see what really stuff is going on at.
Yeah, Teddy Riley's there. I mean, Teddy Riley could be there, but Teddy Riley didn't have a bigger producer run than Babyface did.
In 1995, oh yeah.
Dude, you gotta remember, Babyface...
Look at Teddy Riley's discography.
Between 90 and 95...
He made the whole New Jack Swing movement.
But that's dope, though. But meanwhile, Babyface executive produced the Boomerang soundtrack.
I agree.
And made For the Cool in You during that time.
Yeah.
And he was... I mean, Babyface was a hits factory in the early 90s.
He was, because he wrote a lot for a lot of people.
Babyface practically... Babyface practically wrote the blueprint on old nigga chill style in the early 90s.
When he was in his 20s.
He had that texturizer was in between a box and a low cut. He was wearing them white suits with them silk shirts. I mean, like Teddy Riley was, I mean, I'm sorry, Babyface was the quintessential cat that would have had the Hadley style going on at that time.
But Teddy Riley has the bigger hits, though.
I don't know, man.
Rumshaker is up. You got
Rumshaker. Didn't Babyface write Into the Road?
Into the Road is, yeah, he wrote that.
Well, that's the biggest song.
Rumshaker? I think Rumshaker made bigger. Better than Into the Road.
No, Into the Road is literally the biggest.
Oh, no. I know it's one of the biggest singles of all time, but I'm talking about eight.
No, Rumshaker can't compare it to Into the Road.
So, okay, if we was at a party, well, I guess that's different. You can't put that at a party because you don't want to depress people at a party.
But no, you got to break up with your girl. Let's get the party listening to Boys and Men.
I'm just telling you, Teddy Riley's discography, man, is killer, man. Hold on, let me. And if you to 1985, you also put in Black Street in there, too.
See, I don't like Black Street.
You didn't like none of Black Street stuff?
They've been played too much now. I've heard No Diggity 4,000 too many times in my life. So I can't
I'm talking about that first Black Street album.
That's the first Black
Street album. That's on the second Black Street. No Diggity's on the second one.
Then I definitely don't like the first one.
You like the first one with Before I Let You Go?
That was on the same album.
No, that's
look
not.
It up.
No, trust me, I got them. I'm telling you.
It was one
the first album singles were... The first song was Booty Call. They had this song called Booty Call. And it was kind of... No, actually, the first single was Baby Be Mine off of the CB4 soundtrack. Remember Baby Be Mine was the name? Because the group was called Black Street. It was named off the two of the dudes in the group. One dude named Some Street. Other dude named Some Black. Black Street.
Anyway,
the first single was Booty Call. Then Before I Let You Go. Then it was Joy. And then it was Tonight's the Night for that album. Those were the four singles off of there. Those were hitters, man.
Yeah, but in comparison to what Babyface was producing and putting out, I mean, Babyface got 13 Grammys, dog.
No, we're talking about strictly 90 and 95 here when New Jack Swing was popping.
Like it's a tough call, but I think Babyface. When you talk about music in the last 20 years,
all right, I'm just gonna run through a rough thing for Teddy Riley. He did 2300 Jackson Street, the only hit song for the Jacksons in the '90s. He wrote and produced that.
It's like a salvation job.
Oh, Mary J. Blige, Be Happy. He wrote that.
Okay.
Before I Let You Go, of course. Let's see. I mean, I'm going non-Black Street. Let me go non-Black Street, non-guy stuff. Get Away, Bobby Brown. He wrote that and produced that. Wow, I didn't know he did Heaven Can't Wait for Michael Jackson in the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
On the Invincible Last Mike album. He did High Five, I Like the Way. Keep It in the Closet, Michael Jackson. He wrote that and produced. Come on. I don't know, man. 1995 is strong for Teddy Riley, man. He did Jam for Michael Jackson.
I'm going to read Babyface.
1995, though. I'm trying to just do. Just Got Paid, Johnny Kemp?
Uh-huh.
What? Come on, man. 1995?
All right, so can I go?
He may be able to bring the crown.
He can bring the crown. I'm talking about Babyface. Babyface is getting somebody bringing him a plate, though. Just 1995.
Okay.
I'm not even going to do any of the stuff that happened beforehand. Because the thing you got to remember is that in 1989, and this music still didn't. No, I'm talking about something he produced.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even talking about stuff that. I'm just talking about stuff he got Grammy nominated for that spilled into the 90s. Mm-hmm. Don't Be Cruel. every little step. This is Babyface's resume too.
This is
Don't Be Cruel. Every Little Step. Whip Appeal that he did on his own. My. End of the Road. The Bodyguard soundtrack. Can We Talk by Tevin Campbell.
Did you do I'm Ready To?
Huh?
He did
I'm Ready To. Yeah, I'm Ready. When Can I See You? I'll Make Love To You, and You Mean the World To Me. He produced the whole Toni Braxton album.
Oh, no, he did. The first two Toni Braxton
albums. Like, LaFace was Babyface.
No, I know.
Yeah, Teddy Riley's strong, but he ain't Babyface.
He did Pumps in the Bump, too.
He did. Teddy Riley did some strong, hardcore cuts.
I don't know, man. I got some heavy hitters on his back end. Right here is SWV.
Strong.
Pumps in the Bump.
Strong.
Remember the Time, Michael Jackson?
Bruh.
90 and 95. Man.
Those aren't touching what this is right here. The Bodyguard soundtrack, dog?
But I'm putting up some hitters, though.
It's hard to believe.
Wild Wild West, Kool Moe Dee. That's 89. That spills over. You weren't a fan of Wild Wild West by Kool Moe Dee? Oh. That's a classic. That might be one of Kool Moe Dee's last hits.
Oh my God. He did Take a Bow by Madonna. He did Change the World by Eric Clapton. This is all 93. Like, he did Exhale, Shoot.
He did the whole Waiting to Exhale soundtrack.
He did Brandy's album, Mary J. Blige album, and he did the Houston album. He did I'm Your Baby Tonight in 1990.
Babyface is killing this cat, y'all. Oh, no, man. This is a good debate, man.
Bruh.
Man, I wish somebody had
He did Bobby Brown. He did I'm Your Baby Tonight by Whitney Houston. He did End of the Road. He did I'll Make Love to You. Oh, my God. Madonna's Take a Bow. He did Change the World by Eric Clapton, which is another one. In the end, Babyface has 21 number one songs.
Well, only 90 to 95.
But here's the thing I'm about to say, though. Yeah. He had over half of them between that time span. Mm. Like, and that's white people charts, that's black people charts. This is a brother jumping off into white people charts and making the best music they listening to, too. That's why he gets a plate and Teddy Riley gotta fix it. But Teddy Riley get to come, though. I couldn't even walk in that motherfucker.
Yeah, no. I can't, yeah. Damn, you... That's a good debate. So listeners, like, chime in on this, man.
Oh, it's real.
I think the sound of that time from 1995 hip hop R&B wise was curated by Teddy Riley.
Here's the thing I'm gonna say. Yeah, I'm gonna leave this up to y'all. Y'all can get back to us about this.
Yeah.
Who gets the bigger piece of chicken, Babyface or Teddy Riley?
For 1995, I'm going with Teddy. Overall career, I say Babyface.
I'm going with
Babyface.
1995,
I think I'm going with Babyface. I'm going with Teddy Riley. 1995.
From 1995. Kenneth Babyface Edmonds was the Wesley Snipes of music from 90 to 95.
Oh, man. I don't know, man. That's a rough one, man. All right. Our last email comes from Thomasina Edmonds. She says, fellas, this was so funny and informative. I didn't even think about even combining some of these people together. A couple of people I want to run by you all. Whoopi Goldberg, where was she at in this whole situation of... When it comes to women in comedy, she changed the game and where everyone is, especially for women in comedy. She did Comic Relief. She did a slew of movies throughout the 80s, and she influenced many female comics, black and white, ongoing through the future.
Yo, word to Whoopi, for real, man. Word to her, for real. She was a trailblazer. Yeah, like, she was kicking down doors at a time when you couldn't even get through them. Like,
and look, let's keep it 100. She wasn't the most attractive either, though, to be able to do that. But also, she's doing comedy, so... Could a woman that's attractive do comedy at that time?
Whoopi
period.
Was funny as hell.
Whoopi, super funny.
Like hella funny. Like, even now, Whoopi is at like OG status, since she just kind of sits back and makes jokes on the slide. Whoopi funny as hell still to this day. Yeah. So, mad respect to Whoopi. Here's the thing about people in the 80s. Like, it's just hard, man, because that was like, when you look at the early 90s, it was like plethoras and plethoras of dope ass people that are icons. But the icons were there in the 80s. Like,
it's kind of like, I guess, like sports. You might not have been the best. You could be a Hall of Famer, but you weren't the best that year.
But like, here's the thing: you can be a Hall of Famer, but you still ain't Michael Jordan. You know what I'm saying? Or you a Hall of Famer, but you still not Magic Johnson. Like, even in the greatest circles, there's inner circles. You know what I'm saying? So like, and that's just, it's tough. I mean, like, you know, Yeah, we can make mentions of people like that. I mean, like, Whoopi easily is on the same tier as Arsenio. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's there. You know what I mean? But, you know, if you go through a lot of people we didn't even mention going forward, I mean, we didn't even really, really talk about Bernie Mac. You know what I'm saying? And again, that's later on.
That's
but
more,
I mean,
than 2000, like, more than 2000.
Yeah,
when
yeah, you know, but shot. I mean, like, there's tons of people we ain't really, really bring up, but that ain't a slight against Whoopi, because Whoopi is a trailblazer. I mean, I think that sometimes Whoopi's impact gets underscored a lot. It wasn't until I saw, what's homegirl name from Ghostbusters?
Leslie Jones
was on The View. And, like, she was breaking down about to be in tears about how dope it was for her to be talking to Whoopi. Because when she was a little girl, she was like, I looked at TV. And then in the moment I looked at TV and saw Whoopi, I realized what I could be. And I'm like, that's power. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's telling her this 30 years later, you know what I'm saying? Like, with the same intensity and the same vigor. And now she's a success because Whoopi was a success. And, like, that's the thing she was saying. So it's no... The thing about all these tables is it ain't no slight to anybody not to make it. I mean, unless you, like, you know, you just come completely whack.
Yeah.
And, you know, you, like, Muggsy Bogues should have made the table. I'm going to be like, no, fuck you. Yeah. Muggsy Bogues ain't making the
table at all.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, you know, it's like, I put it this way. While we in the 80s, you know what I'm saying? There was Michael Jordan. Then there was Dominique Wilkins. Like, Dominique Wilkins was dope, but he wasn't Michael Jordan. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's just how it is. You know what I mean? Like, and that's no slight against Whoopi or anything like that. But come on, man. I mean, Prince, you know, Michael Jackson, Eddie Murphy, Mike Tyson. No, man. Like, those guys, they're icons. You know
yeah,
what I
they
mean?
They changed everything.
Like, you can't go too long on Facebook without seeing a Mike Tyson highlight film now. You know what I'm saying? Mike Tyson ain't fought since 97.
In a legitimate fight. Since
yeah,
97.
I'm not counting anything that happened after that Peter McNeely reigned. After
after Tupac got shot.
After Evander put sticks to him, Mike Tyson wasn't the same. You know, Mike Tyson took some beatings towards the end of his career.
Oh, he took some massive beatings.
Mike's a different dude now, though.
Yeah, he's...
Like, Mike's a different dude.
He's actually one... That, and that's something I want to write down, the best comeback stories. He's definitely, he may be number one for all-time comeback stories. Maybe him. He had a rape charge.
Nobody talks about it. Nelson Mandela got to be number one comeback story all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the political. I'm talking about like
I'm just talking about just in general.
I mean redemption story.
I'm talking about just a brother that beat the odds. Nelson Mandela got out of jail in South Africa, son.
And then lived another 30 years.
Yeah, and then had a whole nother life on the other side. And broke up with Winnie.
And divorced her and got a new chick.
Dog, Nelson Mandela on the low was gangsta Grizzil. Yes. Like, for real.
All right, she got two more thoughts here. She said, two other people in the sports world you all didn't mention I thought could have got more of a nod, Magic Johnson and Shaquille O'Neal.
Magic was there in the early 80s, wasn't he? Or did he just barely miss?
He couldn't get in there. That early 80s was so hard.
Like, we set Magic down for a second, but he ended up having to get... Magic had a seat for a second.
Yeah, he had to get
Shaq just came around at the wrong time. Like, Shaq wasn't never... If
more
you like,
he would start getting money and more popularity than Nike.
But here's the thing. But here's the thing, though. Shaq just fell victim to what everybody fell victim to, and it was Michael Jordan. Like, if you have one basketball player at the table, it's Michael Jordan. Like, it's just not...
You can't...
That's it. Nobody it's just one it. Athlete at the table. It's Michael Jordan. You know what I'm saying? So Shaq is there. Shaq is dope. I mean, Shaq is still dope. Shaq goes in the Hall of Fame this weekend. You know what I'm saying? But,
that's right,
like,
that's right.
But, like, you know, Shaq's shadow was always... was always overcast by Michael Jordan's. That's just how it is.
She says, I have three topics for you all to maybe consider for the future. One, out of the Kings of Comedy, who has been the best one career-wise overall? Two, out of in hip-hop history, who has had the best three-album run and for their first three albums?
Ooh.
And then the final question is, could you all do later on down the line, do the best comedians per decade?
Yeah,
like the space table for comedians.
Ooh,
yeah.
A space table
for comedians for a decade. But because she wanted to do for 5 years, but I think you got to do decades. I think we have to get way too into
it. Yeah,
I think you got to do decades.
Yeah, because also you got to realize that we was getting jokes off back in the 80s and the 70s, but we didn't have as many people being able to tell them.
Yeah, so you got to do decades for that.
Yeah, you can do whole decades. I think you're I'd be down to do that. That'd be.
Yeah, so those are the ones you threw. Yeah,
what's my man's name from Washington D.C. the mayor?
Oh, Marion Barry.
Marion Barry definitely getting a seat at that table.
Oh, so the comeback table?
No, the comedian's table.
Oh, no.
That brother thought he could...
He may need a seat at the comeback table,
That brother thought he could do crack as the mayor of D.C.
But he came back to become the mayor again. He's at the comeback table.
He could probably
He's at the comeback season
he
table.
He could be both comeback
season. He's at the comeback season table. Nelson Mandela, Mike Tyson, Marion Barry.
Michael Jordan.
And Michael Jordan, you think he's a comeback season?
Michael Jordan retired, came back and won 3 more titles.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, he didn't fall off though. These three.
Michael Jordan got his daddy murked and played baseball in 2 year span and then came back and won 3 more titles and started selling shoes at a higher price.
I want to put Michael Vick there, maybe.
Ooh. Ew.
Oh, I'm for the 4th seed.
Michael Vick should certainly. Does LeBron James qualify for a comeback?
No, Mike Vick fight dogs fighting and has people still messing with him. And people don't even talk about him no more.
That's true.
These four people I'm talking about, you know what? Mike Vick might have to get it. Muhammad Ali might have to sit there for comeback season where people don't even think about what they originally did. That's what I'm talking about for comeback season. They don't even think about what you originally did. Because Marion Barry ended up becoming a goddamn Mary again after doing crack on tape. Not under conjecture, on tape.
Bruh.
And they reelected him.
Bruh. How do you do crack on tape and you come back? Can Bill Clinton get a seat at this table?
Has he had a comeback season? No, he's kind of falling off though, right?
Bill
now.
Clinton about to be the first man of the United States. The first mate, whatever the
fuck. He's gonna get his old room back.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gonna be the same. He's gonna rehire some of the same
staff.
He's
gonna get the same job back with none of the responsibilities.
Get them to get the same crib. Damn.
Bill Clinton basically put his 2 weeks in and now he's about to work for 4 years. Look at Bill Clinton.
What's something more crazy? You know, he gets to get any files for anything that's going on within the country, so he could, like, be just, like, be nosy.
Somehow,
I saw what was going on. When she get in bed, I'm like, yeah, I saw what's happening.
Somehow Bill Clinton endures. That's all I'm gonna say. Somehow, and I still rise.
I mean, he comes from most, he's one of the most humble beginnings, too, though. If you have a humble beginnings table, he's got to be up there, too. That dude came from Trailer Park of Arkansas to become a Rhodes Scholar. Daddy won Nerf for him, beat on his mama, alcoholic, drugs, and ended up becoming like one. He's one of the only Rhodes Scholar presidents ever. I think something like 3 of them ever. And he's one of them.
God bless the brother, man. he is a comeback story for real.
All right, so we're going to use some of those topics at another later time. No, the topic today is, Matt?
Oh, well, today we're going to go into the intricacies of what truly makes a crew. And when I say a crew, I'm talking about, we're about to discuss
it's
what
like,
goes into a successful
it's
crew.
It's like robbing a
dude.
Bank. If you have a crew to rob a bank, but it's your friends.
Yes. Yeah.
You got to have a wheel man. You got to have a gunner.
Yes.
You got to have a person that, you know, can be able to break into it with computer hacking.
We're going
to
define the things that go into this, that go into a successful crew amongst dudes. So when you see your boys all antied up, you got the whole crew together, you headed out. This I'm gonna preface this. Mm-hmm. This is when you're in your prime.
Yeah, this ain't.
This isn't when you got a brother that's retired. Yeah. But you know what though? A retired brother is almost always in one phase or another a part of the crew.
Normally is the wheel man at that point. If he's retired, he's the wheel
man. But sometimes you got that dude. But there's two of them though.
It's retired.
We're gonna go into this. Yeah. First of all, We're going to set a cap. This is a 7-man crew.
Yes.
All right?
And you're robbing a bank. Like, set it off.
Because you get too many more than 7. First of all, you don't have a cohesive crew. You got a set at that point. And we're not here to do a set. This isn't going to be a No Limit album. This is going to be more of a
Rockefeller.
This is, yes. No.
Because they had a lot of extra people.
Yes, because Rockefeller had a bunch of cats that sucked.
So I'd be
This is going to be more of a death row. This is going to be more of a
that
type of thing. Or maybe a frontline rotation of a basketball team.
Or a beginning bad boy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. So we're talking about what goes into making a successful crew for dudes.
Where do you start with something?
I think
like
you gotta start with the wheel man, which is the person that's kind of in the background that he's the one that he normally.
Wait a minute, here's the thing. Who's the most important person in the crew?
The wheel man.
Really, the wheel man is?
Because he's the one that doesn't drink for real and watches everybody make sure everybody don't get into no fights,
you see,
run up on the wrong chicks.
You see, to me, I think it's the negotiator.
Because but I think the wheelman is a negotiator too, a lot of times.
No, the wheelman's a dude that, to me, in my mind,
that he's the one that doesn't drink, that kind of watches everybody.
The wheelman is just kind of there like, yeah, we're going to do, hey, whatever, I'm down to do whatever. That negotiator is the cat that's out front being the mouthpiece, though.
But he's normally, but yeah.
Negotiator is like the point guard of the squad. Like, okay. he's the cat that's really making sure the night moves forward. Whereas the wheelman's just in the corner, you know, he's in the corner chilling. Like, he's kind of like Tony Kukoc. He in the corner, just give him the ball, he gonna hit it. Like, you know, he's gonna do what he's gonna do. You know, if the wheelman was the Golden State Warriors of the past 2 years, Klay Thompson is the wheelman of the Golden State Warriors.
Is this the same person also the man that knows had the hookups?
No, I think that's the negotiator.
No, I'm saying the negotiator is the same person that has the hookups.
The negotiator is the dude that knows everybody, but he only really knows half of the people that he know. But he know the half of the people he know.
That you should know.
Yeah. The rest of the cats are just people maybe he took pictures with at some point or another. But I know him. It's my people. It's all good.
Yeah.
You know, that's my people. It's all good. That's the negotiator. But he can talk your way into some situations to get into. So, but here's the thing. What is the ultimate goal of a successful crew? Like, what is it that you want to have?
Supreme fun, I think.
To overcome all obstacles, I feel like. I feel like you should be able to take this group of seven.
And if anything happens.
Seven to eight. There's an eighth person. I'm going to introduce who the eighth person is, too.
Now, who is
that? No. I'm going to bring them up. In good time, we'll bring them up.
Okay.
That you can go to Vegas with this team and prosper. Like, you can do it. You can do it all with this team and truly get it over. I gotta keep scoring. And I've gotta write some names down on this paper so that you can read who I put on this paper so you know what I mean.
Who you talking about?
So before we do this, let's get into the rules of how we're gonna do this. Number one, myself and Daryl have had quite a run in life.
Yes. Yes.
One of us gets married in a month and a half or so. Mm-hmm. One of us does not. One of us is
proclaimed the king of the north.
One of us is the king in the north, and we'll discuss that one day too. Maybe we could do that as the epilogue of this show about how you can become the king of the north. Because anybody can become. No. Not everybody.
It's discipline, though, too.
Not everybody can become the king in the north.
You have to be disciplined.
Yes, we'll address that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, though, what's going to happen is that we're about to. This is about to be like an episode of Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack. We're about to bring up some situations that may or may not have happened in either one of our lives, but there are people that were part of these scenarios, and since we're not here to incriminate anybody, because different people are at different points in their life.
And some people float in between different categories, too, within crews, too.
People have different eras. We're going to discuss that, too.
Yeah,
we will discuss that, too.
Because I know, in my mind, I know how I flip with certain people where I've been a negotiator sometimes, and then depending on who it is, who around, the other person will flip it, and I'll fall into another category, you know, on top of that.
Yep.
So
here's what I've got so far. We're going to do this. I've got five roles. And I'm going to put this one.
And then henchmen, you got to have two henchmen. Like, there's the two guys that kind of just play their role.
Oh, no. Yeah, there's definitely the henchmen, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And so I've got, here's what we got so far. We're going to come into this with seven clearly defined roles.
Let's do this like a bank robbery, though. I think that keeps it better organized.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how to rob a bank.
No. But I'm saying you give the roles, like the man that, who's makes, let's start from the top. Who makes the plan? Who comes up with the plan of how we're
okay,
going to do
okay,
this?
Okay. So,
here's the thing. Negotiation.
I'm going to give you the names of the roles I got right now.
Okay. All
right. This is how it works. Number one, you got the superstar.
Mm-hmm.
You got the guy that people would think on the outside is
the negotiator.
Is the centerpiece of the crew.
But he's not. He's the one you put up front. And give me the pen. I have one.
Hold on. Wait. I will give you your scorecard here as well.
Because I got someone automatically right there, right off the top.
I've got guys that I'm about to describe.
Yeah,
some guys.
I got someone we both know that is atypical for this.
Yes.
So this is my superstar. We call him the Method Man of our crew.
Yeah, for sure.
We call him the Method Man. He's not the best rapper in the crew, though, but he has the best voice. He's the most identifiable amongst everyone. He's the Method Man of your Wu-Tang. Maybe we need to start a Wu-Tang clan.
There's the superstar of mine right there.
Wait. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so okay. He's always been the superstar. Yeah. Y'all gonna hate us because y'all not gonna see him. We're never. We're never. Never. Not even on like an unreleased, not even on like the outtakes will never, there ever be discussed about what we're saying here. So anyway, though, so here are the roles as I see fit. Mm-hmm. If you want to blend some in, yeah. Maybe we can get the ultimate crew on the other side of this. So for as I see for a crew, in my mind, there's the superstar, mm-hmm. the centerpiece, the guy, that, the one that chicks would look at and think that that's the guy. See, and that women think that because in women crews, there is a superstar.
Right. And they surround themselves. Because the women crews, the superstar is the one constructed.
Women crews are built like Destiny's Child. That's what they're built
men's
like.
Men's crews are never built
men's
like this.
Men's crews are not built like that. Men's crews are more built like New Edition. Yeah. So here's the thing I'm going to say.
That's the best analogy. They are, though, built like a New Edition.
There are very few crews
of
women.
Or like a Wu-Tang Clan or something like that.
There are very few crews of women I've ever seen that have multiple lead singers. I'll put it that way. It's more or less like a quarterback and his offensive line. And that's not necessarily right out the gates a weight joke, but I'll explain that later. Because we're going to compare a guy crew against a woman crew before the end of it.
Yeah.
And we're going to invite some women listeners to rebut whatever goes into this.
Make sure y'all email us, straightolc@gmail.com.
Yeah, do not call me nor show up at my house after we finish this show. But anyway, though, like the roles on how I see it are a superstar, the guy up front that, you know, that from the outside looking in, you think that's the guy, mm-hmm. but he's really not. Mm-hmm. After that, you've got the negotiator, who is the point guard. He's the guy you put in the mix and do all that. Mm-hmm. After that, you've got the wheelman. Now, the wheel man is the guy that sits in the corner. That's Klay Thompson. You know, he gets what's shot out there. He doesn't
and,
miss
but, and he also regulates, make sure everybody stays, like, he watches the floor, too, to make sure everybody don't get in no fights.
Indeed.
Like you know, he kind of, he usually doesn't drink. Ooh. Or he drinks light.
He doesn't drink as much.
Yeah, but I'm saying he's not, okay, but see, he's the least, usually the person that drinks the least.
So then you've got, and then after that, you've got your Daytons. I'm going to say you got your spokes or your Daytons of the crew after that. All purpose.
No, I want to put it the data man. Like kind of like the computer man. The guy that knows how to crack into the safes. That's the mouthpiece guy. He's not the negotiator. He just knows how to talk to people after you get into the spot. Random people. You know what I mean? Because sometimes the negotiator is so wrapped up in negotiating stuff, you need to have another person that's got the mouthpiece.
Well, okay, I can see that. But I'm going to run through all of these, we'll blend them. So right now we did superstar, we did negotiator, we did the wheelman. I'm now do the all-purpose guy. This is the utility guy that can do a lot of different things. That he can't do it as well as everybody else, but if you need something done, he can step up and do it.
Gotcha.
All-purpose guy. After that, you got
or
your.
The IF, the
you got your henchman. After that, you got your henchman.
So he's like James Bond.
Your captain. Probably played college football, and he ain't really been talking to black chicks that long, but he can still pull them because he's huge.
Right.
So you got your henchman after that, and then you.
How many utility guys do you have?
I got one per role right now. So then you've got, your retired guy. This is the guy that's in a relationship. He's happy to get out the crib. You probably sent your all-purpose dude to work over his woman so he could come out. You know what I'm saying?
Because he's like, a negotiator.
Yes, because he's a negotiator. Yes. No. Negotiator stays the hell away from everybody's girlfriend.
Come on, superstar.
No. I'm my all-purpose guy. I got a superstar, negotiator, utility guy. Yes, yeah.
The utility guy is also all-purpose.
I'll change his name to utility guy.
Okay.
So he plays infield, outfield. He catches. He might fuck around and pitch if you need him to.
Yeah, but he may not be a good pitcher, but he can.
Yeah, but he's gonna do it though. He's doing good enough. He might throw a knuckleball. So you got him. You got your retired guy. That your all-purpose guy has been able to negotiate him getting out the house. Like that's dope. That's why he's your all-purpose guy. After that, you got your happy to be here guy. The guy that probably don't fit in with the crew and probably wouldn't be shit on his own, but he with the crew, so he on.
Right.
So he's on.
And he usually is down for whatever.
Yeah.
Like he's kind of.
Yeah. He's like, down. He's going to buy drinks. He's going to make sure it's down because he's happy to be there.
Yeah.
He's the Jeb Buechler of the 96 Bulls.
Because he's getting rings on the fact that he's down.
Exactly. He's fucking John Sally. So, all right. So then you got the happy. And then the last dude you got in the crew is the in and out cat. The cat that you like, damn, I haven't seen him in a second. But then he pop up like, oh, shit. But he kind of don't be bringing nothing with him. But he be hanging out with the crew, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you got that. So my thing is superstar, negotiator, the wheel man, the utility man, the henchman, the retired guy, the happy to be here guy, and the in and out guy. Mm-hmm. Those are my roles as I see a full
crew. And the in and out guy, he's floating and out.
So yeah, he might. You might go to the club and see him with some people you ain't never met in your life. Like, these my cousins. Like, what's up?
You didn't even
call him to come out because he don't never really be around, but then he always be there. you know you gonna see him.
Yeah.
But he probably gonna be with like a random chick. You're gonna be like, what the fuck? Who is that? Oh, man, it's crazy. Long story. He's the long story cat. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. That's I'm true. Up. Hit me up. And then you don't see him for like a month.
Yeah.
But then he be back. Like, everybody has that cat. He ain't out because he's retired. He ain't out because he's responsible and he got a gig and all of that. He just owns some other shit. Yeah. Like, as a whole.
Off the top, he just is where he is.
That's how I see it.
Ooh, man, this is good, man. So, Superstar, he's the one that you kind of... And you push that Superstar, too.
So, here's the thing. Superstar walks in. Superstar is in the weight room all the time. He ain't got no mouthpiece, though. He can't talk to save his life. He couldn't talk his way out of paper bag. But he walk in, though, and chicks be looking like, ooh, that's it. Like, okay, so here's... We can apply this to the Avengers. Maybe we can do it this way. Superstar is Thor. Thor just shows up. Cat had a crack of lightning and landed on the top of a plane. And he was a superstar of the movie from that point on. He was Thor. So the superstar of the crew, that's Thor. All muscles, tall as hell. But he ain't really got no lines you remember in the movie by the end of the day. But he gonna get some ass.
Oh, and the sad part about it is, with the superstar, is that if you told him that, he would think it was blasphemous.
You're like, oh.
That he is Thor.
Yeah, he'd be like, oh, at least Iron Man. Like, no, you're not. No way you're Iron Man. Get the fuck out of here. You're not Iron Man. You fucking be the Black Widow before you Iron Man. Right. You know what I'm saying? So that is Thor. He's Thor. He shows up, and then all the chicks that they want a good dude, they always gravitate towards Thor. And you'd be like, well, if you want a good dude, you probably shouldn't be messing with Thor, because Thor is going to do the same thing tomorrow night.
And he's going to take your ass guard and drop you off.
Thor's here for the challenge of battle and celebrate his victories.
And drink.
And to throw his hammer around. Thor's here to drink, celebrate his victories, and throw his hammer around.
That's real.
That is a superstar of the crew.
Yes,
and I look at the name that I've written on this list, and he has done this for 12 years as I've known him, and he has been wildly successful, and I know he has too. So, as we both look at our list, we see who that guy is. So, are we in agreement? Is that what the superstar of the crew is?
Yeah. Because
we got to define what everything is going to happen before we go into how it works out, works out. So, all right, so tell me,
this is my negotiator.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought that would be you.
No, I'm on purpose.
Okay. I don't know. Wow. I don't know if I've got a negotiator. I'm going to offer people.
No. That guy?
I'm going to offer.
That guy right there?
I'm going to offer forward people from different crews I've had because I've kind of been like Paul McCartney in my career. Like, I started with the Beatles, and everybody knows me because I was in the Beatles, but I was in Wings, you know what I'm saying? I made songs with Michael Jackson. I've had a lot of runs in my career.
You just Stevie Wonder?
Yes, exactly. You know who my negotiator is going to be? And it's going to be a guy that I wanted to come do this show too.
Yeah.
He's one of the great negotiators of all time. So, all right. So, with these two guys in the fold, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Negotiator. You start this one.
Describing this guy, him and the superstar actually are interchangeable sometimes depending on the situation.
Okay.
We used to call them Plan A and Plan B. Like, it was kind of like blue pill, red pill.
Right.
And it's so funny, the other one would switch to the other role if the other one was a superstar.
I couldn't see that superstar ever not being a superstar.
No, it's switched the opposite way sometimes if the other guys...
You see, our superstar...
Because they both are type super, super type A's.
Our superstar... Oh, damn it. Our superstar was an unwilling superstar. Like, that's just who he is as a person. Like, we would have parties, and he would just automatically just go to the floor, in the middle of the floor, and just dance with chicks.
But that's both of these guys, too.
Because that's what he's there for. But he would always emerge victorious at some point in the evening. He would always emerge victorious at some point in the evening. And in life in general, he would. Like, there were times when I would be giving him my license to get into the club
early in our run, back when we were still playing in Liverpool before we made it big and went worldwide. that I was 20, he was 21, he would get, no, I was 22, he was 20, and he'd get in the club on my ID and still prosper more than me. Somehow that worked out. So that's how I see, all right, a negotiator is key. That is the most vital role in this.
It's tricky because you would think he would maybe be a superstar who I've listed, but he actually pushes against it somewhat because he's so affable with people. Wins people over very fast because he's a big dude, so you just automatically think he's going to be one way, and he's totally not.
But see, here's the thing about the negotiator role. The negotiator can be a lot of different types of people, though. Yeah. It could be anybody from Chris Paul to Shaq.
Yeah.
Like, it could be anybody because Shaq and Chris Paul are both negotiators.
Now, my wheel man, I think you're going to definitely feel my wheel man.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You right now would not be yours too? Yeah. Like, that's a consensus.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Yeah.
That's a consensus one.
Yeah, absolutely.
In multiple crews, he automatically comes in as your wheelman.
The wheelman is
he will go to another crew to rob a bank and automatically become their wheelman.
The wheelman is the best person you got to offer.
Yeah.
Like, the wheelman.
And he's usually the most pure, he's usually the most.
The wheelman is the best guy you got to offer.
Like, yeah, like if put it like this, ladies and gents. If the wheelman is super scum, then everybody else just falls right behind him. Usually the wheelman is what you put up front, like you're saying, like, this is the best that we all can be.
No, that's true. This is what we would aspire to be if we could
still be. And if the wheelman is an asshole, then you just best believe that everybody else is just a curmudgeon. After that, like,
that's fair.
Like, horrible, that's fair. Horrible promotion.
No, that's fair as hell. That's fair as hell. Yeah, this person is huge. I mean, this is the person, he's the glue of the entire operation.
He is.
If something happens to him, everybody else loses their role. Like, everybody else, the superstar usually can still emerge victorious because he'll just leave with the chick.
Yeah, and he'll find his own way.
Yeah, like
the negotiator will too.
Yeah, negotiator's fine. But like things, but nobody will operate at their optimal ability without a good wheelman. Nobody will be that. It's just not possible to happen. So, you know, another good wheelman that I'm gonna put down here too.
Ooh, yeah.
He's an elite level wheelman. Like, he's one of the best wheelmen you can get. So that's the thing that you gotta have. I'm about to add another position to.
Which one? What are you adding?
I'm adding another position to the bottom. It's gonna be the center of attention.
Oh shit!
The crew has now got up to 9 people, but some crews can get to 9 people.
Yeah.
It can. It really can. But we'll get to that one last. I'm going to go to henchman next. No, actually, no. Utility. It's time for all the time for utility man.
I put myself out there. I've always been a utility man. I've always been a utility man.
So here's the thing. That when you're a utility man, here's the best thing about being a utility man. Is that the utility
man. Hold on, going back to henchman. Is henchman the savage?
Henchman is the cat that you look at the bar, he's taking like 4 shots of Hen, and you understand in the next hour things might get out of hand.
He's the savage then. He's the savage.
He is the Hulk. You were right. So to keep with our Avengers analogy so far, the negotiator is Iron Man.
Iron Man, okay.
Yes. The negotiator is Iron Man. The wheel man is Hawkeye. Oh, yeah. Hawkeye was the one that would come in and be blowing stuff up.
Yeah, from the long distance, making sure everything good.
Utility guy is Captain America. He can do all of that stuff. And now the henchman is the Hulk.
Yeah.
All right, so go to
there's a lot of guys. There's multiple henchmen.
I've been a henchman. I would probably say, oh, I know who my henchman is.
Oh, that was what I was going to say too.
So the henchman.
But he's also in the retired section too.
We're going to get to how people get to the retired section.
Usually it's the henchman that goes to retire catalog the most.
That is true. The henchman somehow gets retired first. We're gonna also do the deconstruction of the crew before we get out of here as well. Right after the comparison to the lady crew. But anyway, the utility guy. Utility guy is, he can do some of everything. He's one of the best looking guys you got. He's one of the guys.
He's athletic. He's built.
He knows how to do all. He's athletic. But he's not the same type of athletic as a superstar. He's a good looking dude. He ain't the same type of good looking dude as the superstar.
Superstars are different.
He can talk. He ain't as good with it as a negotiator. You know what I'm saying? Here's the thing. If you approach a group of women, and you almost always, even if you've got your full crew with you, you're going to approach a group of women at a loss of numbers. I don't know how many times in my life I've approached, first of all, I probably would have ran. That I would have showed up with a group of the whole crew found less women to holler at one time. Because the crew is going to disperse. Like, the crew never stays together.
Maybe two at the max.
So you have two parts of the crew go and talk to four or five women.
Now, in this matchup, who rolls with who?
We don't do that too. Let's say you go to talk with a group of women in two scenarios. First scenario is, the utility guy and the superstar go to talk to a group of women. First of all, the superstar isn't doing any talking at all because he's rotated away and he's having that conversation on his own, but she's doing more talking than he's doing because he's a superstar and she don't even realize she's talking as much as she is. Meanwhile, the utility guy has been left with four women on the other side, three of which might be unsavory, but one of them is decent enough. She might be the utility chick of that crew. So, I mean, you know, but you're having conversations, you're talking with them and all that.
The utility guy is keeping
the whole thing moving for everybody else, because then you might see a third member of the crew who obviously is going to see the utility guy talking to this many women and is going to move his way in. Like, oh, this is my boy Hinchman. You know, Hinchman.
And the Hinchman will come in and take on the three.
Yes. And then the utility guy wins on the second tier or the first tier chick that was sitting there. Because usually first tier chick does not separate to go talk to superstar. It's very rare that Beyonce and Bobby Brown get together. That does not happen that often. You know what I'm saying?
Usually second tier will flow directly up to superstar.
The main girl might look at superstar, but she would disqualify him because she's looking at him like he's just that. Main girl doesn't get enough credit because main girl is smart. Some female crews have multiple main girls too, and that is a problem. It is rare. It is rare as hell.
But it's probably it's a problem. Yeah.
We both know a crew that's got multiple main girls.
Yeah.
And it's a problem.
It's a very big problem.
It's a huge problem. But here's the thing about it is what happens is that she's probably not going to go after the superstar unless she just got out of a breakup or, you know, she's really feeling like throwing balls to the wall that night. Not literally, hopefully. But, you know what I'm saying? So you'll be still left there with that chick. Utility guy has a better opportunity of ending up with Beyonce than superstar does. Superstar doesn't want to do the work to get with her when he can just grab Kelly and go. You know, he can grab Kelly and leave. You don't have to wait on Beyonce.
Latoya? Latoya.
Yeah, you could grab Latoya too. Latoya. Latoya's not bad either.
Yeah, Latoya's. Superstar
builds his career on a series of Latoyas as opposed to having
his whole career is Latoyas.
It's like what ends up happening most often than not is Beyonce either gets with the henchman or she ends up with the utility guy. No, I don't think Negotiator gets that. I think Negotiator is the guy that he has
so much going on because he's negotiating everything going on.
Like, Negotiator ends up getting married, and you're like, what? Yeah. Like, the Negotiator ends up being your best man, though. Like, that's the difference.
Utility man's
probably not your best man. Superstar definitely isn't. Negotiator is your best man. That's who the Negotiator is. You know what I'm saying? So, I look at all those different things, and I say that to say utility man can do anything. You know, he's gonna buy drinks at the bar to make sure everybody's good. He gonna know people places so that you know about parties. He gonna know how to get you in the joints. He gonna do the legwork to make sure the night is set up and is good. But then when you get there, he can bounce between different things and get it done. But he will take losses next to the superstar if it comes down to
negotiator.
No. I'm talking about utility. Everything utility. Utility man will lose to the superstar.
And negotiator is actually politicking with so many people in there trying to keep up the ability to be able to get in the places and keep being able to have it. So he's kind of flowing.
Utility man is a various position. A lot of people can be that, but utility man will take some losses because of the fact that he isn't the extreme.
Yep.
And there's situations where there's a lot of extremes and the middle gets lost in the mix. But never really totally loses, but he doesn't necessarily get the first, or he doesn't necessarily always get that easy catch or the worst catch or anything like that, but he might end up with the best catch. He might end up with
if he plays it right.
Yeah, so moving forward to the henchman.
Yes.
He spent a lot of time on the utility guy. Henchman might require less time than anybody else, is clear. This is your homeboy is going to get fucked up in the first 15 minutes you in the club. He's going to disappear for a second, and you might see him getting ready to fight a cat once or twice.
Yep, there you go. There you go. There you go.
You might end up outside of the club, but he means it in the moment, but he's always going to beg down on us being like, I was doing it for us. Like, yeah. You're doing this, like, dog, we was
double,
good.
Double down on
you. You'd be like, I was good. Like, me and Utility was at the bar chilling, and then you was out here doing this. He's like, my bad, my bad. Then he cool for a second, come and drink, kick it. He's the best time. He's the best time of everybody for a little while. You turn your head for 3 seconds. He's getting ready to get into a fight again. But then somehow he ends up with a chick at the end of the night, or he ends up with a number that he don't remember who it is. So the negotiator or the utility man has to remember who it was he talked to.
There's another one I'm nominating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For sure. For sure. The henchman is important. Because if it does break down and you end up getting into some stuff, you good.
Oh,
you
got a good. He's going to rap
there. You got a good henchman. Because two henchmen are always going to hook up. They're always going to link up. One crew's henchman is going to link up. Colossus and Juggernaut are always going to end up fighting at some point.
So you know, he's going to Hulk versus who? Who would be the Abomination or something?
Yeah, yeah, Abomination, yeah. So you got a Hulk right there. So now you got, moving down the line, you got the retired cat. Now, that's tough because the retired cat can be either
it's an ex-henchman.
It's a former henchman is usually your retired guy.
It's 100% your retired guy is usually the ex-henchman.
So looking at that, that's a tougher thing to define because usually the retired guy sometimes is semi-retired, meaning he's in a relationship and he ain't hollering at nobody. He just there to kick it. He there to chill, you know what I'm saying, and be cool. But he might turn up, though.
Yeah,
because he got the crib. Because he got the crib. So he might turn all the way up too. And then you got to end up taking care of him and you got to take him to the crib and you got to make a phone call because he was supposed to be at the crib. But you can't take him home like this.
But what happens when your superstar ends up retiring and he comes back out of retirement and that it's another person overtook the superstar spot? And now he thinks he has the same superstar spot.
But he's still retired at that point.
But he's back and he's turning up and he's like, I'm the superstar.
But you're not no more. I think that once you give up being a superstar, you can never be it again. I think that that's...
I'm thinking like when Jordan came back type thing. Like, yeah,
wow. I don't know back. If I've ever seen that happen. And that's why Michael Jordan's sitting at the big table. Because I've never seen a superstar.
I've seen it happen between these two guys. I've never seen it happen between them.
I don't know if he's retired. I don't think he ever really retired. This guy ain't retired. He's living life. He ain't never retiring. He moved to a bigger city like Kevin Durant so he can put up more shots and win more titles. Like, he ain't retiring ever. Ever. The retired cat is kind of the cat that's kind of trying to figure his way out, get back into who he is. Because, you know, once upon a time, the retired cat, like in college, the retired cat might have been the man. He might have been the shit in college, yeah. But it's been so long, and he loved his girl, you know what I'm saying? So, like, he really loved his girl, he really rocked with her, he happy with the crib, he happy staying home Fridays. You don't get him out every time, you know what I'm saying? Like, he ain't gonna show up every time you go out. So the retired cat is kind of like Robert Horry, where he only averaged like 7 points a game, but it's an important 7 points, yeah. And you happy to have him there because you don't get to hang out with him as much.
He'll actually block for you for with some of those other tier women too for you in the club.
Yeah, that is very true.
And he'll actually take them on, like, don't care, like, oh, I'll talk to him.
Yeah, I don't know if I've got a guy to throw into this. Yeah, I got some. I mean, there's some people at this point, but they're not. At this point, so many people are retired at this point that it's
kind of hard though. It'd be revisionist history for me to go back and think.
Yeah. And then think about who was that guy back then at that point. But that's a guy that's always a guy in the crew who got a girl all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he always got a girl. And he always...
He's an habitual relationship guy.
All right, so the happy-to-be-here guy. Everybody in that... See, the happy-to-be-here guy is a guy that ends up just hanging around.
And collecting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he collects.
He collects some good stuff. He collects good... And he actually gets...
But
a lot of he gets the great recycling bin. Like,
but you know what the happy to be here guy brings, unlike anybody else, is that he brings the bottle of all bottles to set the night off. Like, he the cat that
he's the one that comes in with the bottle.
He show up with Ace of Spades. Well, he showed up with like some ape, like he does it over the top, and like you like, damn, this dude's all right. Let's keep him here. He gonna buy drinks for the chicks because he happy to be here. You know what I'm saying? You gonna save money fucking with the happy to be here cat. Like he's on point. He's there. He's there to do it. Now you don't want to necessarily kick it with the happy to be here cat one on one though. Like if you just going to grab a brew or something and you gotta chop it up, you don't want to just go with the happy to be here cat. But when it comes to a whole crew situation, he's vital. He's important. Yeah. He needs to be there. So
he also is going to be the guy that's going to be able to get on the dance floor with the ladies too and set your crew off too.
Yeah, he's going to do what it takes. He's going to do what it takes. They're going to put it in turn. He's like the pledge that you keep around the runner and do the crazy shit for you because he's happy to be there and he want to be there. So you got that cat. I don't know. But he's there.
Yeah.
Now, the next thing In-N-Out. I got is the In-N-Out guy.
It's so many
people. He's the wild card.
Yeah.
He's rolling dice. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know how to describe him. Everybody got one, though.
Yeah.
Everybody got one. He pop up at all the most unlikely spots. He be like, how the hell did you get here? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, dog, crazy story. He's crazy story. Everything he says is crazy.
And he's always with
a
chick that you ain't never seen before.
Right. Right. Right.
Oh, man, let me introduce you to Stacy, man. You know what I'm saying? How long you know? Oh, man, you know.
No, man, yeah, it's been a crazy story, right? Like, I met her, like...
I'm finna give you mine. I was in and out. He don't live here no more, but I don't even know if you know him. What? You don't know him. But I talked about him before.
No, I know. I know who he is, by the way. I got a crazy story, guy. I had a crazy story.
They'd be like, oh, man, sure. What happened was, you this know. Like and he always talking about, like, man, y'all should roll with me somewhere. Oh damn, that's it.
He's
you
the number one ranked crazy story guy.
Yeah, let me go ahead. My guy is to this day.
That is my boy too. Like that is my homie. But he in and out and he crazy story guy.
He's also
but he always got hookups though.
He does.
He always got hookups.
But he's always in and out too. And he's always got a new chick too. Yeah.
And then In-N-Out guy is the guy that pops up like, yeah, I've been engaged for like 2 months.
And you'd be like, what?
And he did that too.
Yeah, he did. Is it that's true? No, I know. Like,
that is In-N-Out guy. That is the definition of In-N-Out guy. Yep. That's who he is. So
center of attention is the last one.
Center of attention. This is the dude that if you, like say you having a house set, you got to come through people, like he going to tell some jokes. He going to get people loosened up. You know what I'm saying? So he going to get the spotlight on him. But you know what I'm saying? Like, he ain't really doing it on purpose, but sometimes they might be. They're like the center attention dude that do want the spotlight because he trying to shine like the superstar, or he trying to be chill like the all-purpose cat or the negotiator. You know, negotiator has people come to him naturally because he hustle, man. You know what I'm saying? He out here talking. You know, he got people to gravitate to him. Center of attention dude don't really have that one personality trait or that physical trait that makes people just come to him like automatically, but... he's got that thing. He's gonna push for it though to get it. And sometimes center of attention dude is cool though. Maybe he's the funniest dude in the whole crew. Like he can just tell jokes. He gets it over. And you know what? And jokes get pussy.
100%.
He can get some pussy.
My center of attention guy has rolled. If you only knew.
And he ain't telling no corny ass jokes. He out here working for real.
Now, with the utility man, he's also the alley-ooper.
Oh, utility dude funny. Like, he can make it
like, he's the one that'd be like, yo, I know. He's the one that actually see, he made it. Negotiator is not the point guard. The utility guy's the point guard. Because he sees the whole floor.
The utility guy's a small forward that brings the ball up the court. Like Grant Hill or LeBron James.
Yeah, he sees the whole floor though. He knows, like, I know such and such likes certain types of guys. I'm just going, yo, boom, roll that way. I'm telling you, I seen the floor. I know what's kind of popping. Or you're the guy that's already talking to somebody. Like, you know what? I know all you. And actually, you want the utility guy to be already talking to girls and be talking to one of them because he already knows how to distribute you out the other friends and see who's interested in who.
Here's
by off of ignoring
Here's
what
the
it
thing.
Is.
Before we. Take a break. We're gonna do this before we take a break. We're gonna do it after we take a break.
What are you gonna do? What are you?
Here's the thing. I want to talk about how it is you introduce the people in your crew to a chick if she's trying to meet a dude. Like, what do you say about them?
That's a good one. And when we come back to about when you these crew people go on duos, who rolls with who?
Very important. Spot. Very important.
We'll be back after the break.
Yeah. Yeah. Hustler, baller, gangster, cat pillar. Yeah. Who I be? The realest nigga out the litter. My swagger all dope like uncut bricks. My mind's always focused on the next flip. I worked 3 jobs and stayed the school route. Hoes wasn't feeling me cause I was on that bus route. Tried to keep the straight and narrow, eyes on the sparrow. All they see is broke nigga, not the next pharaoh. Me and Jesus.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Alright, so.
Shit, man, I'm hungry.
So you said we had 2 topics we want to bring back here for the second half.
So do we want to go straight into how you introduced the guys in your crew to a chick?
Yeah.
Or do we want to compare it against girl crews?
No, let's get the comparison of girl crews. We kind of talked about it a little bit because
they're much smaller.
Yeah, women crews are much smaller. Which is so funny because it's more of them. It's women more crews. Women crews.
That's true.
But less numbers in crews.
That's true. That's true. It's like the number of teams in like the baseball compared to college football.
There you go. Exactly.
Like
there you go.
There's 30 teams in baseball and there's like 125 in college football.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Girl crews are plenty. Girls have crews within crews too.
Oh, because they'll have 4, but then 2 will dump out with each other.
Two don't fuck with each other. So they can't all, they don't want to be in the crew with the other one. So they got multiple crews within crews. And then you got the whole thing on top of that is that even within the crew, there's different people within the same crew that don't mess with each other. That don't make no sense.
Yeah.
But that but should be happening out here.
Oh, it happens a lot.
But you know what, though? If you sit there and rap with them about it, it actually does make sense. They got valid reasons for a lot of shit that just gets written up as being petty. Like, women be having valid-ass reasons, but you just look at it through the lens of a dude and be like, shit, I just... fought his ass.
Yeah, he just gets voted off the crew.
I gotta quit fucking with him. But then, like, well, but then I gotta. But there's well, but thens.
And it's usually a cousin or friend of her best friend. It's usually the childhood friend or best friend of, or the chick that went to college with the one girl, where it's like, I can't cut her off because she brought old girl into the crew. And that's my homie. So I can't bring her because that's why we a crew though and everything.
Right. That's
usually it's the superstars.
All of that shit.
Probably the superstars, right?
All of that shit we just talked about be happening out here.
Is it the superstar based off the superstar? Is it the superstar that keeps all them together in their crew?
No, I don't know. Superstars are going to be all right as long as they're not around too many other superstars.
So, because you know what?
Crews can have more than one superstar. Like,
you can have
the 2012 Heat happen. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and like
that.
When we were popping, those two was like, literally, yeah. It was them two with superstar status.
Yeah, like you can do it. You know what I'm saying? You can pull it off. I mean, my immediate crew had a bigger star, and then it had a lesser star, and then I don't know, it's hard to say. We were really like the Beatles, though, because everybody was a star. Everybody's just like a different type of star. Like, he was like John Lennon. No, he was Paul McCartney, and we had a John Lennon. I was like George Harrison. I'd sing a song every once in a while, but that song was dope.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
and
I played
Ringo
dope ass guitar all the time.
Would Ringo be the center of attention?
You know what? Ringo got a chance. And there were people that were Ringo people. We had a Ringo. We had a huge Ringo. Yeah, for sure. I'm going to make sure I play this for him, too. But, yeah, we had a Ringo. So, I mean, but, you know, like that's how it works out sometimes. So
when you introduced these guys in the crew,
which one is the one that you are most likely to introduce first? Step outside of a role yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say that you had to introduce. Which one of these guys do you? If your girl says, "I want to meet a nice guy," which one of them do you?
You start with the superstar first.
A nice guy?
You start. You know, no, the reason I say you start with the superstar because you. Okay. Oh, you mean it? I'm talking about if you're in a crew, you're the first guy talking to the crew, and your boys are coming over. I mean,
No. What I'm saying is that let's say you don't have a role. We have to step outside of the role.
Okay, you're just saying there's another crew out there.
Yeah, you say, hey, I'm going to introduce you to this guy. Which guy do you introduce him to first?
The Wheelman.
Really?
No, because the Wheelman,
I'm introducing him to the utility guy.
I can see that.
Because yeah. utility guy probably is the one that's the more.
And he's able to delegate. Like, okay, you know what? Me and you not going to match. I can delegate you out.
Utility guy is wild responsible on the low.
Yeah.
Like he's that. But in real life, so I agree. I would probably introduce the utility guy first. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, then, that's how it works.
Because he can delegate out.
I can trust him to not do any fuck shit on the back end. I literally try to avoid introducing people to the superstar. But girls don't be wanting to hear that.
They want to meet the superstar.
He got arms and he got six packs and I want all of that. And it's like, but he ain't tripping off of you at all.
And usually, and the funny thing is, the superstar turns down a lot of the first draft picks from other crews all the time. Like, I'm sorry, you'll be like, yo, you ain't gonna get on. She aight. And you be like, really?
I mean,
really?
She was cool, but I mean.
And then they end up messing with the Kelly.
Right.
And you be like, really? So you.
And then they end up getting married to Michelle. And you be like,
really?
And you be thinking, like, out of all the ones
but you But I think had, it's more about the ego of the superstar, and that Michelle will cater to the superstar of the ego.
Also, Michelle will whoop his ass if he gets out of line, too.
But no, but she also caters to the ego of the superstar.
You know what? Most of the superstars I've seen to get curved are the ones that just get lulled to sleep, like they in a sleeper hole.
So what, the person, the girl just hangs around and just kind of...
No, she don't hang around. She takes control away from the superstar.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Look at the people that you've listed as being a superstar right there. They had the control taken away from theirs. Now, sometimes they woke up and they... but
try to flip it.
But yeah. That negotiator who was a part-time superstar, sleeper hole.
Sleeper
hole.
Yeah.
So that's just how it works.
Yeah.
You know, but that's how it is. So you would introduce them. They would, if they really want to meet the nicest guy in the crew. No girl wants to meet the nicest guy in the crew. They want to meet the most interesting guy.
They really don't.
They want to meet the most interesting guy. That's probably the utility guy.
It is.
Quite honestly. It is. You know, the wheel man, I think is second. And I think that the negotiator might be third. Superstar isn't in my top three because they don't really want that. And I have tons of female friends.
They think they want that,
though. Yeah, they want that because they see that on TV. It's Thor. Women love Thor. They love him.
Because Chris Hemsworth is the most attractive dude out of the Avengers. It's the same thing.
They love Thor. They love Thor. And chicks love Superman, you know. But they don't really want to hang out with him. And eventually they come around. They realize it. Like, he was fun, but he was stupid. Or he was this, and that. Now, they're saying your superstar got to be stupid.
No.
But it's hard for you. It's hard, in my mind, it's hard for you to be a superstar unless you don't make two or three just really what-the-fuck level decisions. Yeah. At least. Annually.
Usually the superstar also, if he plays it right, has figured out a way to continue with his status as being a superstar throughout ages. So he gets his money right, and he does all the different things like that. So he keeps, he transitions superstars, because in college it's like, oh, he's got a fly, got nice hair, and he got a body. He transitioned to the guy in the suit that's got the fly with, that's doing it. So the superstar understands that he needs a transition in every period.
On the low, your superstar is kind of actually doing the shit he's got. The superstar ain't got to be like a dumb jock. Like,
no, he may actually be the most one.
That's your henchman.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But like, the superstar on the low be doing the shit he got to do, too, though.
Yeah.
So
he understands that he's got to transition over time, too. The negotiator can... See, the thing about the negotiator can be a superstar, too, though. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, like, he gets his shine. Yeah. Here's the thing. If you're in a good crew, everybody gets their shine. Here's the thing. Nobody aspires to be the superstar. Nobody in a good crew should aspire to be the superstar. Because if you're in a crew with somebody, he's just another dude. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that dude right there is just another dude to me. It's no different to me. It might be different to these chicks, but it's no different to me.
I'm going to write some comparisons to the Wu-Tang Clan, because that's the best way.
Okay.
Method Man is your superstar.
Yeah.
Your negotiator
is Ghostface.
I was going to say that Ghostface Killer is your wheel man.
RZA.
Is Inspect the Deck. No. Oh. I would say your utility guy is
RZA. I think your wheel man got to be Raekwon, dog.
Raekwon. Your Raekwon is your real man.
Raekwon and Hawkeye are kind of the same cat.
Yeah. But, okay, and then your utility man is RZA. Your henchman is ODB. I don't see how you cannot have ODB as your...
ODB could be the In-N-Out cat, though, too.
He serves two purposes. Your retired guy, I probably put Deck, Inspector Deck.
Okay.
Like he's consistent though too though. He's going
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He's there on every track.
Yeah. Happy to be here is You Got.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
You Got is your Happy to Be Here. Center of Attention. I guess last the only person left we missing is Master Killa. Right? Yeah. Yeah, Master Killa's on the left. I guess it could be Center of Attention because he's all, you know, he's always trying to drop some extra gems and stuff because nobody listens to his rhymes as much.
True.
So Master Killa is your center of attention. But see, but Raekwon and Ghostface can interface with each other though too between Wu Man and in this situation, Raekwon can become a negotiator too.
Yeah.
Now, within these crews, who rolls with each other? Like, if okay. you and when you split off into twos, is this Raekwon and Ghost? I mean, Raekwon and Ghost naturally go together. Method Man goes by itself. Because usually.
No superstar goes on their own, though. No superstar I've ever been involved around.
I've seen a superstar be able to flow on his own.
Ooh.
But then, I'm talking after you get there, not going in. I'm talking after you get in the spot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Superstar almost always drifts away because he don't need to be around.
But the negotiator and the Will Man usually kind of roll together.
In the situations where I've been the superstar, I've just floated through the night. Right. It don't matter to me at all. When I'm the superstar, I'm just like, whatever, it's good. I'm out here chilling. You know what I'm saying? I'm straight. Good to see you too, level. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, yeah, I mean, that's it. Like, having a... Everybody needs to have a good run as a superstar, I think, once to decide if that's what you about or not. You know, because most of the time, that's just not... what I'm about, but I know people that have had long careers.
Very long careers.
Long, successful careers as a superstar.
But it's hard to keep up that superstar status, too. That's the thing.
It's tough. The toughest positions to be in are superstar and retired cat. Because retired cat, you're going to leave the game and you're going to get thrown right back into the fray of what's been going on while you've been gone. And you're not
with no updates.
No updates. Like yo,
no new software.
I thought she was good. No, man, I ain't fuck with her in a minute. You're going to be like, oh my God, like what happened?
No new updated software. You still working
like, dog, where you been at? And then you constantly got to get hazed by your boys for loving your girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why retirement stage, man. You gotta go there when you
and it's hard if they retire and come back in though to the game too.
Yeah.
If they break up with that girl, come back in.
Yeah.
They working on Windows 98 and everybody else got you know.
Super Nintendo turned 25 today. You come back as a Super Nintendo if you.
Yeah, and think about it. Time moves even faster now. It being a guy that's retired now. Even going out in general within months, like you my data processors.
You know what? I don't know what I am now because.
Because the game, I'm saying, and I guess.
I mean, I can still go on. I've got, I guess that for the most part, the Beatles are still, we could resume the position that we were in when we, we lost one guy. We lost one of the Beatles, too, and he ain't coming back. He went religious. Like, he went, like, ultra
so
retired.
He's John Lennon, like he's dead, basically.
No.
Saying,
he's like Pete Best. It's like he never was there because he ain't coming back. Like he's not. Like we had a conversation about it and he told me at like 3 o'clock in the morning at a party, he was outside, he was like, I'm not coming back at all.
Like I'm never coming
back. But it's good to see you though, dog.
Like you said, come back to a party. Because like
you my boy. Like he talked to me like I wasn't even like still there anymore. Like
you were finna die.
Yeah. Like he talked to me like he came back from being dead to talk to me for a second. It was like
and I'm going back to where I came from.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, I'm
like he came from another dimension.
He was like Uncle Charles. Like he just came back, he was just like
so he just said I'm not partying.
Yeah, I'm not part of this no more. But I'm happy for where I'm at. But I'm not partying no more.
Is he married too?
No. And this was the most OC cat in the crew. But this is probably not.
Okay.
Because he's been gone that long.
Damn. Okay.
So I mean But there was that. But there's two. So I guess we're now, like, really, like, we have four Beatles now at this point. You know?
Damn,
so
okay.
I guess now I'm kind of like John Lennon now, I guess. Oh, I send it up to John. No, I kind of always was John Lennon because I would be the front guy. I would talk when the superstar didn't want to talk. The other guys weren't going to talk. I guess I always was John Lennon. And
So for women's crew, so to talk, let's put our ladies in at least a male percentage of what we think of women's crew.
This is how I see it.
Yeah. So let's go. So as
I don't even know what to write it up as.
Super. I mean, let's kind
of. It's usually superstar and the rest of them.
Damn. I think it's superstar. I think there is a utility for a woman though, and then I think everybody else.
Who's the utility chick?
It's usually the second in command. It's but usually
many, a chick that. Okay, how big is the crew we're doing here?
Four.
Really? Women rolling even packs? Women almost always rolling odd packs so they can have a decisive number.
You think so?
As I can see.
Okay, well, let's go with five then.
Women either are in pairs or they're in five. No more, no less. They're like Hydra.
That's what I'm saying. No, it sounds like the fucking Jedi. It's like, it's only for the Sith. It only can be two. No more, no less.
Yes, I think that's accurate.
But too. So if there's five, I think there's a superstar, a utility.
Okay, lady groups. Let's do this. Superstar.
I think there's a utility too because a superstar sometimes thinks she's too fine to talk to anybody.
Okay.
Utility is the one that does get the superstar can have.
But are the other three henchmen? Like,
yeah. No, not henchmen. So the superstar. We gotta come up with a different category for them then, because it's not henchmen.
Well, because the utility is almost always the wheel woman for them too. Like, utility does way more roles than a woman crew.
I think there's a wheel woman for a woman too. I think the utility and wheel different. I think the utility is the one that talks to all the dudes and knows everybody to get in all the clubs. But the superstar is just fine enough to be able to get y'all in because he know y'all with her.
I think that the utility woman and the superstar are on equal planes of being fine.
Okay, no, but I'm saying, but the superstar carries herself a little bit more regal.
I think she carries herself a little bit more detached. I think the superstar.
So it makes people want her more.
Or they like. Fuck that stuck up light skinned bitch.
Like, so we only saying that the superstar could be light skinned.
Well, no, I'm just saying like that. The superstar could be anything, but yeah. I mean, but I'm just saying like that's like a typical fuck that stuck up bitch. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and, but the utility is the one that people can.
There's
talk
two
to.
Henchmen if there's five women.
Yes, all right. There's two henchmen. So, but I think a wheel man. There is a wheel man for women.
Yeah. Okay, so
wheel. There's always woman, one girl that's kind of
superstar.
The moral
superstar
compass.
Utility.
And she's the moral compass for the crew.
All right, superstar wheel woman and henchman.
Mm-hmm.
Henchman.
I want to change the wheelman name to chaplain. The wheelman is changed to chaplain. I want to take that to a chaplain because he's usually the moral compass too of the crew.
Wow, chaplain, that changes any.
Because they're the moral compass. Usually, like, man, come on, man, no, we can't.
We going
this.
Home, girl. We not.
But think about the boys' crew, dudes' crews like that too. Like, come on, man, you ain't got. You know what I'm saying? Like, he ain't gonna hate. But he gonna pull you to the side though and be like, come on man, you can't be doing that, man. Alright, we can't do that.
Okay.
And usually when he says like, nah, we ain't doing that, everybody kinda can the people may rebuttal and do their own thing, but when he leaves, everything is kinda off kilter. Like it's like fucking it's fucking anarchy if he leaves. Because the utility man can only do so much because he's trying to mix and match, he only can save one.
That's the whole team right there for the ladies, right there. That's all five of them right there.
Damn. That is it. That is it. Done. Shut, done.
Finish.
Done. Hey, done.
We're done with this.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, guess what? I'm burning the things that we're writing down on tonight. Yeah. They're getting burned.
But let me see that one more time. Because actually, that is...
That's perfection. Damn, that is... Yeah. That's a 96 Bulls right there.
But it was so... Yeah, man.
That's a 96 Bulls.
Yeah, man.
Only I think utility is Jordan.
Yeah. Yeah, no. That's 100% it, though. That's 100% it, though. But, because the thing is, though, damn, it makes so much fucking sense. Because our crew can overlap this crew if you want to. Because
it's the same
one problem. Superstar messed with one of the henchmen's for the longest of times.
I didn't know that.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the longest of times. I'm talking about 4 years.
So you think that, you know what? Honestly, male superstars and female henchmen make a lot of sense.
That's what, but we talked about at the beginning, though, that the superstar will go after henchmen a lot.
Yeah, superstar's just there for the W. He's not concerned about all these other things. He's not. Tied into the.
He's not necessarily savage. They're not. It's not going to be the ugly chick either, though.
No. Henchman doesn't have to be ugly.
No.
Hell no. When it comes to a woman, first of all, I'm not messing with no crews of women
that are unattractive.
Banging.
Now, the henchman may go off on his own and mess with some ugly crew. The man henchman may go off and mess with some ugly women in another crew.
Henchman.
Totally independent.
So, henchman for women or do a completely different role than henchman.
100%
Like I could never see a male henchman and a female.
I do know a male henchman and a female henchwoman that got together, and it's my henchman and his henchwoman.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, it's rare. It happens, though, occasionally.
But mostly, the superstar picks up a henchman.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
But within this women's crew, though, how does that ecosystem run?
Oh, I have no idea. Listeners, you're going to have to...
Somebody email us.
Listeners, you're going to have to weigh in. You're going to have to weigh in.
At gmail.com. We just know the roles. We don't know.
I don't know anything about y'all from that angle on.
How do you envision it?
Yeah, how do I think it works out? I think everybody likes the chaplain. I think that the chaplain might spend a lot of time with the hench people because it's an opposite to them. And then that the superstar and the utility person can be cool enough. But that, like, there's always kind of an underlying thing kind of between them because one of them might make the other one's life hard. But girls kind of always love each other if they're close to each other. So they don't really dislike each other. But yeah, it's weird. Like, it's weird. Like, and so... I think that being a utility chick is different than being a utility guy. Like, utility guy can mess with everybody in the crew, but mm-hmm. I don't think a utility woman messes with everybody in the crew.
But here's the difference, though,
is that every part of a female crew, I think, can get together and hang out and have brunch or go to happy hour together or something like that, whereas that ain't going to happen in every dude crew. First of all, because I ain't
so
getting...
So who's rolling in the mid-crew?
I ain't getting up to go to brunch with none of my boys.
But, okay, if there's who's rolling together normally on a day-to-day?
For dudes?
Yeah, it's probably a superstar, negotiator, will man, utility, and one henchman.
Retired dude can't roll every day, so he's out. Happy to be here. He shows up when any combination of people get together. In and out... He might be there already. You don't ever know. Center of attention can usually go anywhere with anybody. So center of attention can hang out. So if you had to take a three-man, if we had to make like a three-man weave of people that can hang out, I'd say superstar, negotiator, center of attention.
Really?
Yeah. Utility guy can get there at any point in time, but negotiator going to be out because negotiator's out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So negotiator, superstar, center of attention. If you had to trade it out, I would trade out either superstar or center of attention. Superstar doesn't have to. Superstar, part of being a superstar is not being out all the time. You know, so, like, I would say probably the most common group is center of attention, negotiator, and utility guy.
I can see that. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. And if it's a duo, is it normally negotiator, utility man?
Yeah. They have the most in common, I think. I would think so, yeah.
That's hilarious. So, women, email us on this, please. We don't
know. We don't understand.
We don't know. I don't know how the workings of that hierarchy goes, you know, and how it kind of ebb and flows. Because I would say there's more monarchies in women crews, from my perception, than there are in men crews.
Groups will break up, though. Men crews don't break up, really. Yeah, it's rare if you see a dude, entire crew fall apart. You'll see dudes that just get pieced off because somebody might move or somebody might retire. But only moving and retirement are really the only things that break apart entire dude crews. And even then, they ain't really broke up. They just only get together when they go to Vegas.
Right. It's just a reunion after that point.
Yeah.
But women crews will split and splinter.
Yeah.
And usually when they split, they don't pick up nobody else.
No, they don't. They just do different stuff. They get married. Or they go and they...
They don't pick up. Like, if it's five and three of them go one place, two go another place.
It's not like
that two's going to pick up.
No, without a doubt, boyfriend and girlfriends are the number one thing that...
Will break up women crews?
No. Both crews. That will penetrate crews.
Oh, 100%.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. It will change.
Yeah.
That's how you can get anybody to get...
Who gets penetrated first in these crew?
Ooh, Will Man.
Will Man normally is somewhat retired.
I think utility man or woman is the hardest one to get narrowed down. Because they're kind of the most deft one. They're kind of the one that kind of sees, You know, I don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Superstar can get taken out. Superstar lady can get bought out by a cat to play for the Rams or plays for the Chiefs or something like lady. That. Yeah, because she's fine as fuck. And yeah. She's off the board.
Yeah, she's
get purchased. You know what I'm saying? So she's out of there.
What about the utility woman?
Utility woman? See, that's a wild card. Because, like, utility woman, it's really up to what they want, honestly. Like, it's if they kind of quarterback their own fate. Because, like, the utility woman is the one that's in the club, probably the one that is negotiating with the utility guy. You know, all that. You
don't see, so what happens with that utility guy versus utility woman? Like, is it a chess game between the two of them?
Already? It might be, because that's two people that ain't gotta do nothing they don't want to. So
it's like crazy, and it ain't the same kind of I ain't gotta do it. You can fool a superstar woman or a superstar guy into being with you. You know, just cook for him or buy her a purse or something like that.
And stroke their ego,
acquiesce to whatever it is that they want. And superstar woman or superstar guy will be with you. You will have your trophy as long as you don't challenge them. If you don't challenge them and just let them continue to be them and just kind of lull them into being what you want them to be, you will have your superstar woman and your superstar guy. Which is why I say, once again, superstars are not a first place ribbon. It's not a trophy. It's simply just the role you take within your group of people. There are no winners or losers in this.
No, everybody's winning.
Everybody's winning when you got a good crew. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the mid-2000s, it was like We Gonna Make It beat was playing in the background the entire time. You know what I'm saying? It was like life. I would wake up in the morning. Fuck the real shit. Like it was that real, like, all the time. Like, life was good because I had a good crew. I had good people around me. When I first moved back here, I had a strong crew. It was merging. It was 2009, 10. You know, the scene was popping. I had a good crew. Got in with some other crews. New crews started. It was like, it was dope. It was like Rough Riders. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, so it was dope, you know. But, you know, it's like, you know.
Like Def Jam. I said more like Def Jam. Yeah. There's so many different random artists.
It was like Motown, actually.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
You had like five main dude crews in St. Louis.
All under one label.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then you had them that blended into other ones. So, I mean, but it was, you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, it's dope when you got a good crew. Because you got a good crew, everything's better. You know, and even after you retire, if you have enough people to retire and a couple people that haven't retired, you can still get together. You know, your henchmen, there's a few people that have to be retired in order for the crew to still work. Your henchman has to be retired. Like, he can't still be OC. Like, you can't still be ready to fight people when you're 35.
Yeah, he's got to retire.
He's got to retire. You can't go out with a fired up ass henchman.
And the dude that's just going to be kind of getting on every chick, though, too. And
he's got to retire, too.
He's going to play the numbers game.
Yeah, he's got to retire.
Yeah.
Like, every chick, every girl
in
the world.
So, that's a good question, though. How is an updated 30-year-old crew?
Ooh, so you guys cross out, like, three roles on the crew.
It's gone.
There's no superstar anymore.
Yeah.
There's no superstar once you get past that. That's why that role don't really mean that much. Superstar's gone. You got to have a wheelman still. Obviously, you've added two more retired cats. So, you got a wheelman, you got two retired cats. You still got to have a utility cat, and you still got to have a negotiator.
And you always gonna have a happy to be here.
You know, happy to be here always gonna be here.
In and out's gonna always be there. Center attention's always
in and out. Everybody's in and out at that point, though. In and out at that point is somebody that's got three kids.
Damn, instead of one.
Yeah. You can still live with one kid.
Yeah.
Two, you risking it.
Three, how do you think that the 40-year-old crew and cats didn't divorce, they're breaking up from their relationships, and you know. How does the, I mean, yeah, man. Does it
40,
does
being it re- 40
do being, crew do crews have mergers then? Like, is it a merger system then?
Yeah,
like,
I think at that point.
Does it become a merger
thing? Yeah, I think at that point, I don't even know if you have a crew anymore.
Or is it duos then? Like, you broke up with you got divorced when I got divorced, so we look like we together.
I don't know how that's gonna work. I don't know.
Cause I mean, let's keep it real. 50% of relationships people end in divorce. That's just a reality.
More than that, yeah.
I'm just 50%, so we're saying if everybody's retiring, half of them is going to be back out on the market in 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, but you come back to the market with kids, you know, so you don't have as much time to be out there. You got a different job, you know, cats get settled in their ways. They don't want to be out there. So I think that the crew days are the crew days. I think the best days to have crew days are late 20s. I don't think that anything that it doesn't, and nothing parallels to having a strong crew in your late 20s.
I agree. Like, you got a little bit of money that you ain't maybe not balling, but you got enough,
you got enough to
do what you want to do whenever you go out. You got enough to
make it work, yeah. Yeah, like, the two times I have a good crew are extremely early 20s when don't nothing matter, or late 20s when...
I agree. That middle part is when you kind of really need trying to hustle and figure out some shit.
Yeah, yeah, you're trying to figure it out. You're losing cats to gangs. You're losing cats to cats they think they're going to get married to, you know. There was less women crews to choose from in mid-20s than there were in early 20s.
So there was mergers? You feel like there was women mergers?
I think
there were
a lot of mergers. Yeah, I think women merge more than guys do. I think women crews are like conglomerates where they just come together.
This is like when you, IBM, and we, Hewlett Packard, we need to come together and go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, they're like, I think women crews like InBev.
Damn.
You know,
we're going to buy Miller out. We need to buy Miller.
We'll buy out all these smaller ones. You just come with us.
Is it because it's more single women, like the single women?
I think women like to make friends with each other. I think women like the idea of camaraderie. They like the idea of other women they get along with, you know, like... You ever had your girl, like, meet another girl, and she just be like, oh, she's nice, you know, blah, 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 and then they don't end up really being homegirls, but they kind of merged a little bit because they hang out and they kick it. Like, you know, so, like, I think that women tend to merge more than guys do.
Yeah, dudes don't have new friends like that.
Yeah, no, I don't remember the last time.
And usually if a guy gets a new friend, it's through another friend, so it's like he got edified.
I don't even remember who my last new friend is. Who's the last friend I got?
That you just met on a clean slate?
No, just in general, at all, period. I don't remember the last time I made a friend. Last time you made a friend was Tyler.
Yeah.
Tyler's, and it's your boy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it always happens through somebody
else. That's through somebody else, though.
Yeah. 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 Tyler's awesome. He sent me pictures from his wedding the other day. Pictures of me at the wedding acting crazy. He's awesome. He's one of the best.
No, but that's through somebody else. It wasn't like I bumped into.
You know, as I got older, I made more female friends.
I agree. Me too.
I mean,
like, I don't need I don't need no more male friends.
I got enough. They don't.
And I barely can keep enough up with the motherfuckers I got.
Yeah, like, I got enough ones that are here. Like, for me, my lifestyle doesn't match the lifestyle of a lot of my friends. So I mean, I have to kind of, you know, be cognizant of that, and that's all right. But you know, it's weird, man. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't need any more friends. I'm cool. Like, I'm good. I don't need that. I got enough family and I got enough friends, you know, so I don't need any more of that. So, unless you offering something.
Then it ain't no point.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap it up, man. But, all right, so, the female crew, male crew meet each other at a bar.
Yeah.
What happens?
Organized or randomly?
This is randomly. Just what happens? What is, how is things...
How big of a few? Five lady
friends? Five lady friends.
Damn, against a 9-man dude crew?
No. We're only going to run with a 7-man crew.
Okay, so we got this. So In-N-Out and Happy to Be Here are out? Or Happy to Be Here? Let's leave Happy to Be Here. Happy to Be Here is here.
Let's throw out Retired. Retired is not there. Retired and Center of Attention.
In-N-Out.
No, Retired, In-N-Out tonight.
All right, so Retired, In-N-Out tonight. So, all right, so you got the superstar lady. So connect the dots. Say everybody wins. Two guys lose. That's okay.
Yeah.
As a guy, you're going to lose. You're going to lose.
Yeah,
you're only going to win 10% of the time in your life as a guy.
Exactly. So this could be interchangeable with all.
Maybe the best looking guy maybe wins 11%. That's it, though.
Very true. His is a little bit better. His sales record is a little bit better.
Maybe better. But you also could have one of these guys in the crew is the money flashing ass cat.
Who is the money flashing cat?
I think
Superstar?
No. Nah, Superstar don't give a fuck about
it. Is it the...
Happy Beer. Money flashing cats don't stay in one crew. They just fly around all the time.
Yeah, Happy Beer. I can see that. Yeah. So Happy Beer may be able to come up.
He could have, but he's not here because he's somewhere else.
Yeah, because he's gone. He's with another crew.
Yeah. No, In-N-Out is the money cat. I'm sorry. In-N-Out, not Happy to Be Here. Happy to Be Here got money, but he ain't got no hoes, so he's just around. Okay. So, can I say that?
No, you can't. No,
that's
fine. We didn't minus that.
Sorry, guys.
It's all good.
But I can't say. I'm like a radio person.
Yeah.
No, I can't say.
Yeah, I'll bleep it out. I already think like I'll bleep it out.
So I would think that if you had a lady crew and guy crew, Superstar and Superstar and Wheelman, I think the Wheelman could fall into the Superstar lady. Because she ain't really tripping.
He's going to cater to her.
And he ain't tripping off of her, though, either. Not even about him catering to her.
she ain't tripping off of the other people. She ain't tripping off the utility man because he's talking. She ain't tripping off the negotiator because he might be kind of low-key talking too much. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's probably drinking, kicking too much. Superstar, they're having a battle of the wits. They're having a battle of egos. So she ain't going to talk to him because he ain't came over to talk to
her. Yeah, but also is the chaplain going to have the force to go after her, though? He doesn't have...
No. I'm going to say who gets the chaplain. So I think the superstar lady, I think the superstar lady and the wheel man would fall in together easy.
Okay. All
right?
But the wheel man is the chaplain. That's the same interchange.
Mm-mm. The wheel man ain't a chaplain.
Okay. I got you.
That
okay.
Cat ain't a chaplain.
It's my Hawkeye?
Yeah. Neither one of them is a chaplain.
Yeah.
They a wheel man, though.
Yeah.
So I think that they fall in together because they just kind of, you know, it just offsets and it makes sense. So then for the lady utility... Henchman? No. You think she ain't tolerating that?
She may end up with the negotiator. Because because he's trying to negotiate what we got going on. She's
you know what?
She's a default.
The utility chick ends up with the utility guy, and they just be kicking it, and you finally be like, what's going on here?
Oh, so that's the ones that just be hanging out randomly, and it's like...
How long has this been going on? That's because they both kind of on the same wavelength. And neither one of them really goes like, I don't know. I think the utility chick and utility guy are kind of the same person.
They are.
So
very similar. Very similar.
They might feed into some narcissism or something and feed into the other person.
Because the utility person is very narcissistic too on the low.
Oh, hell yeah. Because they know what they can put, because they know what they can do.
Because actually they're usually the most intelligent of the crew. And they think that, okay, and they understand that they're not the one with the biggest, best mouthpiece like the negotiator, and they know they're not the superstar, so they know their role already, so they know what they have to
control. So they got the most comfort zone of anybody in the entire crew.
Exactly. But they also know that they're the back blood, too, though, with this operation.
That's crazy, yeah. So maybe...
So they have the most ego, too. So both of these people have the most biggest ego, too, talking to each other. Maybe. On the low. But nobody knows they have the most ego, because on the frame, they know how to flow.
So then it breaks down to a man versus woman thing, where inevitably...
Then it's a whole nother...
Where inevitably women win.
Yeah.
So that's a whole nother thing. So then you get to the chaplain. I think the chaplain and the henchman.
Really?
A woman.
Not even reform him.
A strong willed woman that a wild dude is interested in, that strong willed woman is gonna win. Because
she's strong willed being a chaplain.
She gonna starve his ass out. And he gonna be like, damn, I don't know what the hell is going on. Like, he ain't gonna be as much of a goon anymore when you out. He gonna be chilling. You're going to see him dressing differently and shit, messing with her. And then you pop up and they done got married. And now the chaplain and the henchman then got married in the most unlikely shit of all time.
So then, on the flip side, then...
Superstar gets a henchman. Superstar gets a henchwoman. It's a henchwoman, yeah. Superstar and a henchwoman hook up, for sure.
Because she's going to be down for whatever he's talking about. Because she's down. She's happy to be down with the henchman.
On top of that, yeah, and she probably got some paper, too, on the low. Like, so she probably got some paper on the low. She probably like a lawyer, a doctor. Or
so does the superstar end up on the odd end of this?
No, I say the superstar ends up with one of the henchwomen.
No, so it's superstar woman.
No, I said that she's
ends up with the wheel man.
Yeah.
So then the negotiator.
The last woman role
would be another henchwoman. So I guess we're going to the negotiator then.
Center of attention. It's gonna be some random shit. So the people that end up hollering at one of the friends of them and one of the in like the in vogue to the TLC of this woman crew is the negotiator and the happy to be here crew bounce for a while. Negotiator and happy to be here, and you know what? And negotiator mess around and stay single as long as anybody, just because they hustle. They hustle, man.
Yeah, and they always trying to figure out what's going on here and there.
Negotiator end up with some white women. He end up with some white.
Because he didn't negotiate his way into some random spot that on his own.
Yeah, negotiator got some white women.
That's so true. Oh man, it's so true. Oh, it's so true.
Y'all are gonna hate us for this show. I already feel it.
It's gonna be some emails on this one because I know women gonna be like, "Well, no, our crew don't run like that." You know, all right. Well, hey, let us know. Let us know, fellas. Let us know also how your crew runs. Email us, straightolc@gmail.com. Tweet us, straightolc, as well as Straight Outlawcast fan page, man. Yo, we'll be back next week with another joint. Peace.